Hi, this is Animatronic of Scissor Sisters. Whenever I'm in Belfast, I tune in to BBC Radio Ulster to listen to Marcus Hunter Neal.
Well, earlier today on The Art Show, I was lucky enough to catch up. I was putting my serious head on and I had to do like an artsy-fartsy interview.
Now stick your gay head on because here we come.
It's on. I live and leave home without it. So that is John and Carol Barrowman in the background. Guys, how are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, gorgeous. Gorgeouses, because gorgeous.
Gorgeousness.
Gorgeousness. But is that still only one? Because I'm saying it to the both of you.
No, but gorgeousness is plural.
No,
oh, is
it's
it?
Not.
I'm saying it is.
All right,
okay.
Now it is.
It is now.
Okay, well, so it is. Gorgeousnesses. Ach, my wee nesses. And you are originally from Glasgow, isn't that right?
Yes.
We are.
We were born in Glasgow, Scotland, and we moved to the States in 76 when my dad's company moved us over there. And yeah, it's funny because we speak with non-Scots and other people with the American accent, but when we speak to each other, we then just...
We speak gay!
I like it. Musical theatre has been a big part of both of your lives, obviously. Carol, growing up with a theatrical little brother, what was it like?
Oh, it was a freaking nightmare. the best part of it was that at Halloween, if we would go to the neighbor's house, my girlfriend and I would drag John along with us, and we'd usually dress him up because he was always game for a bit of dress
up.
And we'd usually dress him up and we'd take him to the neighbor's and then we would make him sing.
My, he's making eyes at me.
Just like that. And then we would get tons of candy.
I grew up thinking I was Lena Zavaroni.
I love it.
One of the Osmond brothers.
Jimmy Osmond.
And so we'd have him sing
I'm gonna knock on your door, ring on your bell. I still know them all.
Yes.
Well, it never leaves you. You see, you've been traumatized.
Yeah.
But thankfully, you've turned the trauma into a career.
There you go.
Learn how to turn it into your advantage.
It's so funny. I told a story a couple of weeks ago about my family had this big Christmas party, and I knew the way children have to sort of do hymns and poems, and I ran off and I went upstairs and got changed into one of my sister's outfits, and I came to the hall door and I was like, introduce me. So this Christian family, my cousin had probably just done some lovely poem, and then I burst in one of my sister's outfits, started doing Betty Boo in like a skirt and a hair clip and her high heels.
You know, at Christmas we always have a thing where we always have to do a party piece. It sounds like your family's very similar. And when my children were young, John would often take them off and
dress
them up, and they would do...
I dressed Claire, my niece, I dressed her up as Dolly Parton. And then I dressed Turner up as Dolly Parton. I dressed Claire up as Sonny, and I dressed as Cher.
And they did a performance.
And we did a whole number, and then we thought it would be fun to go out on the street and wave at cars going by. And this is in Central Florida. And all of a sudden... I hear the screaming, get in the house! Do you realize those kids are underage?
It's like, yeah. Well, I was a bad mom.
Do you see, in saying that, because I'm from Belfast and obviously we're war-torn country for a time, and where I used to live was in this big Victorian square, and the army tanks used to park at the back of the Army Square because I lived on a flashpoint area, and they would be there sometimes 3 or 4 days at a time.
You thought it was a candy store.
Well, what I did was I would put my ghetto blaster on the windowsill, and then they had the big floodlights, and I would do Dolly Parton. I put my ghetto blaster, I would stick on Dolly Parton, and I would do 9 to 5 up and down, and each tank would shine a light on me, and I'd go from one tank to another, up and down, and cartwheeling and everything, so entertaining the troops.
Oh, well done.
And then you became 18.
No, this was me as an adult.
Brilliant.
No, so John, you've had a great career in musical theatre, which I just absolutely love. What have been some of your favourite musicals that you have been in?
I've loved every role that I've done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been able to play everything from, Billy Crocker and Anything Goes to Joe Gillis and Sunset Boulevard. Then I've gone off to Vietnam to be a soldier in Miss Saigon, and you know, Phantom of the Opera. Every role to me has meant something completely different. And when I was in high school and getting ready to go to college and stuff, if you'd have said to me that one day I would be have been working with Andrew Lloyd Webber and Cameron Mackintosh and all the big theatrical greats and Stephen Sondheim, I would have kind of looked at you and went, yeah, right. And then lo and behold, a few years later, I was doing it. So it was, it's been a, you know, it's a, even myself sometimes I have to look back and, you know, I'm 49, but I look at my resume and, you know, if I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit, and I apologize, not apologizing to anybody for doing it, but I've worked really hard, and the stuff that I've accomplished is, when I look at it, I'm like, holy moly, I've actually done it. So yeah,
it's sometimes when you're on the treadmill, you don't realize how much you do until you take a step back and go, whoa.
Absolutely. And then when you take a step back and you go, and sometimes I take a step back and I go,
girl.
Yeah. But then I go, I kind of don't remember that.
Yeah. And that's scary.
And that's really scary, because then you think, was it going so quickly that you didn't take the time to really enjoy it?
No, that's because you took a step back on the treadmill and you fell on, you
and
fell.
And I fell.
You can't remember
and
any
I
of
hit,
it.
And I hit my head.
Because you were drinking in the
treadmill. Yeah, I was drinking at the time. But no, it's a, I love musical theater, and I'm one of those people who's been an advocate all of my life, because there's so many people that say, oh, musical theater people, they can't act. Well, shove it, because... Yeah. We can express ourselves in three different ways, and that's by singing and doing dialogue and dancing. So chew on them apples.
I know. You see, you're a triple threat. I'm a zero threat. I have no talent.
No, listen.
I can't sing,
you in
dance,
a dress
or act.
And a pair of, and a pair of pumps, you sound like a Uno threat.
Well, actually, I am Northern Ireland's first lady of drag. So, yes. So I suppose I can turn it out whenever I need to. Carol, we're going to take a slight break in the interview for the time being. Have you a favourite song that I could play underneath for our listeners?
You've got to think disco. It's got to be gay.
Yeah, well, how about a Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson?
No, not gay.
Not gay. Let's see. What
why don't you go with some? Why don't you go with Casey and the Sunshine Band?
Okay.
And go with Baby Give It Up, the one that goes na 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 na.
Well, by the power and magic of radio, that is underneath us. Well, that was your choice there, Carol. Well, kind of your choice, Carol.
It was a collaborative effort, which is what we do well.
Carol would have, if you'd have left it up to her, we'd have ended up with Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
Yeah, or David Bowie.
Or David Bowie.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I could work with that one. So you were chatting there about being a triple threat, and you really are a triple threat, because on Desperate Housewives, I'm so used to you being a lovely, friendly, jolly, campy, all singing, all dancing, and then you were this villain in Desperate Housewives. What was that like?
Well, it was awesome. I mean, the fact that 30-odd years ago, well, I say 30-odd, it was more than that, but when I was in 1976, 77, my parents took us on a road trip, and we went to Universal Studios, and I was driven down that road, and on the Universal tour, and they said, you know, this house is the Munsters' house, this is where Bewitched was filmed, da da da. Little did I know that later in my career I'd be
blowing
going
it up
down, you know, Wisteria Lane on the one of the top five shows in the world. It was great. The cast were lovely. Eva Longoria was just amazing. The crew were great. Mark Cherry, who was the creator and the head writer, he was a huge fan of Doctor Who and Torchwood, and he had breakfast with me one morning before I was going on a big road trip with Mylene Klass, funny enough. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, do you, you know, I'd love to have you on Desperate Housewives. And I'm like, well, just write the part.
Yeah.
And so he did. And that was it. But I had to be blown up and killed off because I had to go film Torchwood. And it was awesome. Drea Mateo, who played my wife, who was on The Sopranos, and we had a great time. It was just, it, you know, that's what I'm saying. I think about it, and I kind of go, wow, because we were on a trip later, Scott and I, we were in the middle of France, mm-hmm. and a small little village, and some woman walked up to me and went, "Oh, Patrick, Desperate Housewives."
Oh.
And I was like,